Blog Talk Radio.
Richly bless you in whatever you have put your hands to.
and that he has kept you and your family safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Hallelujah. All right. Let us go into our statement of faith. We are going to be doing this morning, hearing Elohim, hearing the Most High Elohim. Do we hear him? Are we hearing him through the scriptures? Are we hearing him through our prayers? Are we being faithful to what we're hearing? So that is the precept this morning, hearing Elohim, our statement of faith. And let me go ahead and do this while we are at, let me have the brothers to uncover their heads, the sisters to cover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us praise our Most High this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for keeping us safe through the night. Thank you for giving us a mind of praise and worship. Thank you, hallelujah, for loving us, Father, and providing for us, and always having us in front, front of your face, Father. And we just glorify you and lift you up and magnify your name this morning. For truly, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Majesty upon majesty, glory upon glory, hallelujah. Honor upon honor and righteousness upon righteousness. You are all these things, Father, and we glorify you this morning and give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised as we go before the Most High in prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we will but turn from our wicked way, repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. But Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and that we have done wickedly, and that we are repenting from our ways. And Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them, give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that you do, that you would incline your ears once again towards your people. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen and amen. The book of 2 Kings. The book of, no, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, and let's start in let me just do a normal reading this morning. Let us start in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. On last evening, last night, we did... On last evening, the precept that we went through, I prayed that we can hear what the Most High was saying concerning our reasonable service. And our reasonable service is just what we're supposed to be doing. We want to know if we are hearing Elohim, if we're hearing him to do those things that, you know, if he's talking to our spirit, if he is himself encouraging us and letting us know that we are his children, is he chastising us if we get out of order? So to he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Because Elohim should be talking to each and every one of us, not just to Brother Miles or Sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, but to each and every one of us. So we want to know, are we hearing him? Let us go to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. The book of Matthew, chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 1. The book of Matthew, chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass when Yeshua had been made an end, and it came to pass when Yeshua had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in the city. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, this was strange to me because John is the one that announced Messiah's arrival. Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which take away the sin of the world. But he has gone through some things, and now he's in prison, And he's got some doubt. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do and hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Yeshua began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in king's houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born among women, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding that notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesy until John. And if you receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. And he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what Messiah is talking about here, what did he tell John, them to go tell John? John, you're a prophet. And this man that you're questioning, he is opening the ears of the deaf, the eyes of the blind. He is healing people. You know that the scripture says that the one coming to do that is Messiah. If you can't believe with your eyes and you can't hear with your ears, believe the sign that you're being told about. Believe the signs, and can you hear Elohim through the signs? Because the Most High, that's why he gave us prophecy, that we would hear the prophecy, and when the prophecy came true, we would believe. So he's saying through the signs, you ought to know who I am. You ought to be able to hear me. They should be identifying who I am to you. Now, and this is what amazes me. It was so deeply ingrained in John for him to announce the Messiah when he saw the sign of Messiah, when he saw the dove descend from heaven and light upon Messiah in the water. Then that vision just triggered in him, behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sins of the world, because this is what he was born to do. This was preordained by him. Not by him, but of him, by the Most High. Preordained of him, for him to do. But he tells you, let's go to the book of John chapter 2. And let me get the right verses here. Let's start in let's go to John chapter 1, and let's start in verse 15. John chapter 1, verse 15. And in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, this is a witness and a testimony of just who Messiah is, the one who created the world, is the one that came into the world. And the Word of God, which when we read in Isaiah chapter 50, is an active force. It's an active agent in and of itself. It goes out to accomplish whatever the Most High speaks. His Word itself goes out to accomplish it. It's like an entity of itself, in and of itself. It's an active force, but it's not an entity separate from him. So it's like you say, turn on the light. And instead of somebody getting up and turning on the light, your actual words turn on the light. It's an active force. So when Messiah was, when it was prophesied about Messiah, when those, that prophecy was given, then the word that went out of the Most High's mouth had to wait until the time that it should do these things and manifest and come into the world. Son of the Most High. It would be known as the Son of the Most High. So when we read in verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word, which was used, look up above, the word was with Elohim, and the word was Elohim. And the word which was Elohim was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we have to understand and believe that and be able to hear that, that the word itself became flesh. And the word itself, you cannot separate it from the Most High Elohim. You can't separate him from his word. His word is him, but it's the active part of him, a active part of him, because the Most High is multifaceted. But his word goes out to accomplish itself. So it may be a hard thing for us to comprehend because, you know, we can see it manifest if we have a child and we say, Junior, go turn on that light. And because you spoke those words to them and they hear it and they go do it. But it's different with the Most High. His word itself goes out to accomplish and goes out to influence and goes out to make happen. And it won't return to him until it has done what he has told it to do. And so we can look at it and we might think that this is a separate individual. And when it manifested itself, when the fullness of time came and the word of Yah manifested itself and became flesh and dwelt among us, he said, now I want you to know this word, my word, as the Son of Elohim. But it's really me, the one that told you in Torah, I don't know any other God. I created the world alone and by myself. And so I don't know any other God. And my word became flesh and dwelt among you, but I want you to know him as the Son of God, the Son of Elohim. But it's really me, the part of me that goes out to accomplish whatever I have spoken. So we look at this and we will see a separate entity from the Most High himself. But when the words that come out of your mouth, they are your words. They are you. They reveal what's in you. The same way with the Most High, but his words are also an active force in and of itself, if we can see this. So when it was time, his word became flesh and came into the world. He says, now I want you to know me, it's me, the word of Yah, which is Yah, the word of God, which is God. I'm here. And so the prophets and the scribes and all these people needed to be able to hear the word of God from the scriptures to understand who Messiah was and is. They had to be able to hear the prophecies and believe them. To he that has an ear, let him hear. If you are open, if you are not conflicted within yourself, if you can hear the word of Elohim and just let it talk to you and understand that it's going to do exactly what it says. And sometimes it is hidden from us until the time that it should be fulfilled. Sometimes the Most High will go ahead and reveal to us through other visions, through other prophecies concerning the same thing. Oh, wait a minute. These are related. And in your mind, in your vision, you have to be able to hear it by seeing what he's saying and taking it into your heart and believing it. So everybody has ears. There are some people that were born without ears, but, you know, for the most part, it is a human thing to be born with what? Ears. So to everybody that has ears, let them hear. But they may not understand. They may not comprehend. But we, as the people of the Most High, we have to be able to hear, comprehend, and believe. And what we cannot, what we don't comprehend, then we have to take it back to Him and say, this I don't understand. Will you reveal it to me? And will you listen so that you can hear the answer? The answer may not come to you in a vision. It may not come to you in an audible voice in your mind. It may come from a little child. And the little child says something, and you know that it's not the child talking, but that it's the Most High Elohim. But are you able to hear Him? Let's continue. We're in John chapter 1. We continue with starting in verse 15. Because I want you to see how the Most High works. John, it is preordained. Isaiah prophesies about John the Baptist and him announcing the arrival of Elohim. Isaiah tells you exactly who John is announcing, who he is heralding in. He's announcing Elohim. When we get here, I want you to see where John is at. Now, John is going to announce the Lamb of the Most High. He's going to announce him as the Lamb. But when John gets thrown in jail, even though he has done this already, he starts to doubt. Because John wouldn't have shown that he was going to be, you know, thrown in jail and beheaded. I believe the Most High spared him that because John was beheaded. But he had to still be faithful to do what the Most High ordained him to do. So start in verse 15. And I want you to see John's mentality and what he says. John bare witness of him and cried, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, if the people don't have spiritual eyes or spiritual wisdom, what they're looking, they're going to hear the natural. Here is he of whom I spake. Yeshua is right there. For he is greater than I, for he was before me. But he's saying that he existed before him. Now, if you were there, what you would probably hear is, he was before me, but you wouldn't be hearing that he existed before me. And then if your family, you'd be like, John, this is your cousin. And you're born 6 months before him. How was he before you? If you had any type of, if you knew the relationship, how was he before you? You were born before him. So we have to have spiritual ears and be studied in the scripture so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to us. So when John is announcing Messiah, he's not, let's hear what he says. Go back. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses by grace, and truth came by Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. No man has seen Elohim at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. A declaration. And when you look at that word to declare something, you are saying, this is what I want you to know this by. This is what this is. But the testimony of the scriptures, the testimony of the Most High, the testimony of the prophets, say that this is the one that created the world. And the one in Torah told you, I don't know any other Elohim. But he's the one that spoke the words, and he's the one that manifested himself. But he declares himself to be the Son of God. And this is how he wants us to know him in the flesh. But it's the same being. But in this act that I'm doing right now, I'm declaring that I am the Son, and this is how I want you to know me. But all through the Torah, our forefathers didn't know of, well, they served other gods, but when it came to the Most High Elohim, they were always told, and this is your witness, Israel, hear, O Israel, Yah, our Elohim is one. Yah is one. There is, he told us, you are my witness, and there is no two or three gods. So when he arrives, were we able to hear that? And when our forefathers, when Messiah said that he was the Son of Elohim, from the scriptures, their understanding should have been, Elohim don't have a son. Elohim said he didn't know any other God. And if Elohim has a son, his son has to also be a God, separate and apart from Elohim. So they would have said, you blaspheme. That's why they said he blasphemed. You blaspheme. You being a man, maketh thyself Elohim. But if they had an ear to hear, then they would have understood that Elohim was coming in the flesh, and he told them that he was coming. And that this is how he wants them to know him. Let's continue. Verse 18 again. No man has seen Elohim at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. A declaration. This is who I want you to know this individual as. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. I am not the Mashiach. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. So they have read the scriptures. They have heard. They understand that the Messiah is to come. They can hear that. And now they're asking John, you down here and you calling Israel to repentance, but they should have also, because they knew Messiah was supposed to come doing that, but they missed John and didn't hear Isaiah and didn't see the signs and believe of the one crying in the wilderness. Because John was out in the wilderness. He wasn't living in a house. He probably lived more so like a wild man, what we would consider a wild man, eating locusts and honey, walking by himself all the time, communing with the Most High, waiting for his assignment to arrive. And so once John started calling people to repentance, and to make straight their path, their ears should have went up and they should have been able to hear Isaiah to know that who was coming. Let's continue. So they ask him in verse 21, and they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who are you? Who art thou then? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yah, as saith the prophet Isaiah. Now, I want to explain something here to us that we understand. When you see the Lord, this is why you might see me conflicted a lot when I'm reading, because when you are in Isaiah, in the Torah, in the Pentateuch, the Old Testament and the prophet, when you're in there and you're reading, you see the word the Lord, all capitalized. The Most High's name was there. That was his name. And John was supposed to announce the arrival of the Most High Elohim by name. See, we, in the English, we look at Lord and say, oh, that's how we were introduced to the scriptures, with the word the Lord in there. But if you go back and in your Bible and from Torah, and you replace the Lord with either Jehovah in the English or Yahweh or Yah in the short form, if you replace it there, all the places where you see the Lord, you will have his name and you will be able to follow him through the scriptures. And when he arrives in the New Testament, when you see the Lord, and you know from the Old Testament, the Lord, that was his name, literally, not the Lord's name, but his actual name, the tetragrammaton of his name, Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, in the English translated to Jehovah or Yahweh or Yah. When you bring it into the New Testament, then the Lord is also the same individual. But what they did was they took the name of the Most High, his actual name, and they made it a title for Mashiach in the New Testament. So you see the Lord, Jesus Christ. But that really should be saying Yah or Jehovah or Yahweh is our salvation, because that is what Yeshua's name means. Yahweh is our salvation, our Savior. But the individual is telling you who it is. This is Yah, our salvation. So they should have been able to hear that. But when we get caught up in what our eyes can see, and we are not looking at the signs, and we're looking to judge, if we're not cannot hear spiritually, and cannot discern spiritually the prophet, then we will miss these things. So they missed who John was, and they're asking him. We know the Messiah is supposed to come. We know Elias is supposed to come again too. We know there's supposed to be another prophet that Moses talked about. So they're asking him, are you that prophet? Are you the Christ? Because he said right away, I'm not the Christ. Before you even ask, I'm not the Christ. I'm not trying to take that glory. Then who are you? Are you that prophet? No, I'm not that prophet. Are you Elias? No, I'm not Elias, because he didn't know that he was Elias reborn, that he was sent back in, the spirit of Elias. Most I woke him up, put him back in a body. So that tells you there's something else that the Most I can do that we may not necessarily believe as part of Christian doctrine. But Elias came back, and Messiah said that this was Elias. Are you him? No. Then who are you? I am a voice crying in the wilderness. That's how I was told to identify myself to you. It should have went back to the scripture to see what they said concerning this individual and what his job was, so that they could hear Messiah. They could hear Elohim. But they didn't go back. So when John says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, they didn't hear Elohim. Because Elohim says through the prophet Isaiah, this heralder, he's announcing the arrival of your king. He's announcing the arrival of Elohim, specifically. And because they couldn't hear John, they couldn't hear the Most High Elohim. So let's see what John says. Because the Most High, you, doesn't matter who we are, and Messiah said that there's none greater among, born among women, greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of Elohim is greater than John the Baptist. And so they couldn't hear this. Let's continue. Let's see what the Most High is doing with John, because you might see how he might work with you. Go back to verse 23. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yah, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? Now here is what they are missing. And it's easy to miss this because they say, if you're not the Christ, and you're not Elias, and you're not that prophet. But the truth of the matter is, two of the three of those are the same individual. Christ and that prophet are the same individual. Elias is separate from them. So they're looking for three separate individuals, but by title. Christ is a title, and that prophet is a title. So we have Messiah introduced and spoken about by title, Christ, the anointed one, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. That is the title, that is the definition of Christ. The one who wears that title, that prophet, that's a title. And I'm sure in some kind of way, this hasn't been revealed to me yet, that Elias is tied in there another way. But the two of those, Elias is not a title, but Christ and that prophet are titles that are worn by one individual. So if they were able to hear the scriptures through the title, through the titles, they would know who was there. And they're searching. Are you the Christ? Are you that prophet? Are you Elias that come back? And I can't say that they didn't know that the Christ and the prophet and that prophet were the same individual. I'm assuming that by their question. And perhaps I shouldn't assume that. But the question sort of leads towards that. Now, who are you? I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. They should have been able to hear the Most High through the prophets. Verse 25. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me and is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. Now, as I said, Yeshua and John are cousins. Don't know if they exactly grew up together, but I would think that if Mary ran to Elizabeth's house, And Elizabeth is John the Baptist's mother, and Elizabeth is her cousin. If that's the first place she's going to go, I would think that they would have a relationship all through Messiah and John growing up. And I can't believe that John and Messiah never met each other prior to this. So when John says what he's about to say, I want us to keep that sort of in our mind. One moment, please. Let us go back. So John says, the one that's among you, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoe latchet, to untie his shoes. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptized. Now, if you believe that John is a prophet and you're coming out and you're hearing John speak and he's telling you to repent and he's baptizing all of Israel, he's calling them to repentance. And by our history, the Most High always spoke to us through the prophets. And a prophet was supposed to be the representation of the Most High on the earth. The Most High spoke through the prophet, literally. That's why if a prophet says something, you're supposed to treat it as if the Most High Elohim is talking to you directly. That's not why it's not a title that somebody should give themselves, nor take it lightly, because when you speak as a prophet and people listen to you and they hear you, if they believe you and what you say don't come to pass, the scriptures actually command that you be killed. That prophet, you are to ignore him, but they were also supposed to stone him because you're claiming to be something that you're not. You claim to be the representation of Elohim on the earth, and we're supposed to listen to you and obey your orders as though you are Elohim, because the spirit of Elohim would be in the prophet and talk through the prophet. So if that prophet spoke something and it didn't come to pass, because we know Elohim's word, even if it's coming through a prophet, it cannot return unto him null and void. It shall go out to accomplish wherever he sent it to do. I hope we can hear this. So the word coming from the prophet cannot return void. It has to go out and to accomplish, because it's not the prophet that is talking. It is the spirit of the Most High within the prophet talking. It is Elohim himself. So when they see John and they believe that, then when Messiah says there is not one greater, when John says, not Messiah, when John says, the one that is before me is greater than I am, whose shoe laces I'm not worthy to untie. They should have told them, wait a minute. Wait one second. What are you saying, John? You are a prophet of the Most High. You represent the Most High. And in the hierarchy of things, you are high up on the chart compared to men. You are the Most High's representative. And, you know, our people are good for killing the Most High's representative when they don't want to hear from him. Oh, no, we don't want to hear from the Most High. Could you imagine when the Most High came down to visit them in Exodus, when they first came into the wilderness, and he came to show his power and his might, and the trumpets were blowing, and he wanted to talk to the nation, and he talked to the nation. They heard him. But when it came to going to that mountain, they said, Moses, you go talk to him. Could you imagine if they had said, we don't want to hear, and verse is saying, in a way, we don't want to hear, we can't hear, you go. But could you imagine if had they killed Moses because they didn't want to hear from the Most High? And this is what our people did through history. But here is John the Baptist and Messiah. He's saying that the one that is before me, the one that is among you, he's higher than I am, and I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoelaces. All right, let's continue. Verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sin of the world. Somehow, our forefathers, through the scriptures, every time that we need a Savior, it's because we have been in sin and we get expelled. Exiled from the land. And the Most High has to send a Savior. Well, we are being occupied by the Romans at this time. And we're not sent into captivity. We are captive in our own land. And the Most High didn't stop the Romans from being able to take over Israel. Because of the disobedience of our forefathers. So he allowed the Romans to come in. And now our people in their own land, they're captive in their own land. And what they want is to be delivered. They want to be delivered from the Romans in our land. So they're looking for Messiah when he comes. And I believe the Most High did this intentionally. Well, we know he did. Such that they weren't able to see Messiah because they're looking for that conquering Messiah, the one who's going to be the ruler of the world. And to them, their world was Israel. This is the promised land. This is this is all we really care about. They couldn't even see or hear the prophecy concerning when they expand their border. For I will expand your border. And when the way is too far for you to make the journey to come make your sacrifices or to keep the feast days coming back to Israel, when the way is too far for you, then you can do these things within your gate. They couldn't hear that. So when the one that is here that's greater than John, flag should have went up. And John is telling them, you looking for somebody, but I'm not him. But the one you looking for, I just told you he's among you. They couldn't hear it. Because they're looking at John. You are doing great things. You are the message that you are speaking. John didn't do any miracles. His miracle was that he got Israel to hear and repent. But he didn't heal anybody. He didn't raise any dead. He didn't do any of those things. And Israel is running after him. Hear this. Israel is running after him. But then the one that they're looking for, John says, he's here. The one you're looking for, he is among you. And I'm not worthy to even untie his shoe latchet. They should have been looking around. Where is he? The one you coming to inquire about, I'm telling you that he's among you. Now let's continue with this. Verse 29 again. The next day John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saying, behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. This is a man that existed before me, for he did exist before me. If they had spiritual ears, if they could hear Elohim. Because remember, John is talking for Elohim. But they couldn't hear Elohim. Now, listen to what John says. For he was before me, and I knew him not. This is his cousin. And as I said, it's an assumption, but I have to believe that Mary and Elizabeth were tight, that John and Messiah would have known each other. But it wasn't revealed to John, except for in the womb, who Messiah is. Other than that, it was hidden from him so that he wouldn't announce him before the time. So John had to be programmed with a sign that told him who Messiah was. So he says, I knew him not, and I knew him not. I didn't know, except for when I was a baby in the womb, that this was Messiah. All this time in my life, I've been going about when it was time for me to go out into the wilderness and eat locusts and wild honey and call Israel to repentance. As children, they probably played together. He says, and I knew him not. Then there's a but there. Let's continue. Here's the sign. This is what the Most High does. And you have to know, the Most High is using you or going to use you. And if you can hear him and you believe, then the Most High may put something in you that triggers you into your ministry, that triggers you into what you're supposed to do when you hear it. Other than that, you could be dealing every day, doing what you do, and then it's these words that you hear that set you on your path, that make you do what the Most High wants you to do. So let's see what John says. Verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest or shown to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. So John, who was, when he was in the womb, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, caused his mother to prophesy about Messiah, the baby in her did. Here it is, 29, 30 years later. And John is saying, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore come I baptizing with water. So I know I was told that I was supposed to make straight the path. I was supposed to make straight the path of the Messiah. I was supposed to make straight the path of Yah. And this is what Isaiah says specifically. So I know that I was supposed to, because he's here, I'm supposed to be baptizing. And I'm calling Israel to repentance, and I'm baptizing. I know this, but I didn't know that it was Yeshua, my cousin, after we have been growing up. This thing was hidden from him so that he wouldn't announce it or tell anyone before the time that the Most High wanted it heard. So when he saw the sign, then he announced what was supposed to be announced. Let's continue. Verse 32. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. Now, this is his cousin, and I knew him not. I didn't know him until this point. It was actually in the womb I knew this. But after I came into the world, this knowledge was taken from me. And I just knew that I was supposed to go out baptizing because I'm announcing the arrival of Elohim. But he's playing with Elohim, I'm believing, as a child. Because if you understand who Mashiach is, when you understand, this is why when our forefathers accused Messiah, you being a man, they knew what he claimed. You being a man, maketh yourself to be Elohim. This is why they said that they crucified him. Not for the good works that you do, but because you being a man, maketh yourself Elohim. Literally. They understood. They rejected it. They couldn't hear it. Can we hear Elohim? Are we hearing him? John is going through, he is baptizing in the wilderness. Messiah, his cousin, but he doesn't know him as Messiah at this time because that was, I believe, even coming out of the womb. It was taken from him. In the womb, he knew. He jumped for joy. In Elizabeth's womb, the Ruach HaKodesh, filled Elizabeth, caused her to prophesy when John was 6 months in her womb as to who Messiah is, what's in Mary's womb, who is in Mary's womb. But now he's out in the wilderness. He's out doing what he was called to do. But he doesn't know that Yeshua is the one that he is supposed to be announcing. Because I knew him not. But let's continue. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizes with the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, can we hear with hindsight? We have hindsight. Hindsight is supposed to be 20/20. We should be able to see clearly. If John is supposed to be announcing the arrival of Elohim, and if we have an understanding of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, that Yah is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, then the one who baptizes you in his own spirit is here. I am the Ruach HaKodesh in flesh. And I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to pour out of my spirit when I get through with this work upon all flesh. Can we hear it? John says, I didn't know who he was until I saw the sign. Then it was triggered in me what to say. Because mentally, in the natural sense, I didn't know this. But from a spiritual sense, I heard what was put in me. And I saw the sign that was given to me to do this work. Let's continue. I knew him not. And see, you may be doing things and you don't have a clue about what's about to happen. How are you to be used? But if you are being faithful, if you are being faithful to the Most High, then when the word is spoken to you to trigger you, you will be able to hear it, or you should hear it. But you may not even know that you're the one being used to do X, Y, or Z in the Most High's plan. That's why we have to be obedient. We have to be doing what it is that he tells us to do. We have to be able to hear his voice. You may have been given a vision. And when you see that vision in real life, if you are in tune with the Most High, then that vision should trigger something in you to do something, to say something, to whatever it is that the Most High has wants for you, wants from you. You have to be able to hear it from the voice of the vision. You have to be able to hear it from the word of Yah. Can we hear Elohim? So you may not have know that you are even a vessel to be used, but if you are remaining holy and righteous, that the Most High can use you for good. So before I move on, let me explain something there too. If you choose to be evil, the Most High will use you for evil. He will use you for that. And if you make the conscious decision to be holy and righteous, then he will use you for good. He will make you that vessel of honor. If you choose to do evil, he will make you that vessel of dishonor and use you for that. So we understand. So it's important what you choose and what you commit yourself to do. You cannot be in the middle. To be in the middle, uncommitted, undecided, is a no vote. It's a non-committal. That's what the Most High says, I hate. You in the middle. You're trying to play both sides against the middle. I don't know if I want to be good. I don't know if I want to be evil. I like a little bit of both. I like some variety. And the Most High says, I don't want you. Then the Most High says, I don't want you. Just a moment. Can we hear him? Are we going to be making ourselves available so that if the Most High has given you a vision, like John says, I was told, the one that I see, the Spirit descend upon. It's him. And that's the only way that I know that it's him. Because I saw the sign. And I could hear the vision. And the words in the vision. I could hear what Elohim said to me. Let's continue. Verse 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he that baptizes with the Ruach HaKodesh. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of Elohim. And the next day after John stood and two of his disciples. So if we are able to hear it, Yah may be using you and you don't even know it. And what character you play within the vision may determine on whether you believe what you heard. Maybe when Yah is dealing with us, if we can hear the word of Yah through the vision, if he gives us clarity, if he gives us the ability to even remember the vision. Then when we see the sign in the natural world, then we would be triggered to do what the Most High wants us to do. Let's continue. Let's go to Let us go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. And let us start in verse 1. The same day went Yeshua out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell onto good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now he's speaking to them in a symbolic speech. And he's saying to them, don't look at the natural. I'm talking to you in parabolic speech, because I want those that are able to hear it, they will understand it. But the rest of you won't be able to understand it, because you won't really be able to hear it. You will be hearing it with your natural ear. But the symbolism, you won't be able to hear. Let's continue with this. And his disciples came and said unto him, Why speaketh thou unto them in parables? Why are you speaking to them symbolically? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. The ones that can hear and understand, and the ones that it is given to hear and understand and obey, are those that were chosen from the foundations of the world. They are able to hear Elohim and to do what he says to do. So Messiah came to Israel. Let us hear this. Messiah came, and the word came to Israel. And he was speaking to the multitude, to the masses. And he said, it's not given to them. Think about that. It's not given to them to understand, to hear. They hear, but they don't. Hearing, they don't hear. They hear the words, but they're not really hearing the meaning of the word. They're not hearing the message of the word. But what's even worse of that is it's not even given to them to be able to hear it. If you are walking in understanding, do you know how special you are that you can hear Elohim? Not even given to them. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and their hearing hear not, neither do they understand. You have to be open. You have to be chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. To even to be able to hear the truth in the gospel. People hear the gospel. They hear the word of Elohim. But it's not given to them to even understand what they're hearing. Why? Not having that natural fear, that natural reverence. Reading the scriptures and not hearing the word of Yah in the scriptures when Yah says, fear me. And not hearing those words and coming to the understanding, I need to fear him. He didn't say that for no reason. Can I hear Elohim? Do we hear and not understand? Do we hear or in just disobedience? Hearing Elohim, what he says he means, what he means he says, what he wants he has had spoken or written. He speaks it through his prophets, through his teachers, through his pastors, those that are his, because not everybody is a prophet, not everybody is a pastor, not everybody is a teacher that carry those titles. They weren't sent. They just went because they had a desire to do it, but they never sought out Elohim. They never heard him. His people. When we read his word, when his word is expounded upon, when precept is put upon precept, we should be able to hear and understand because it should be given to us. That has to be given to us. We read that again so we understand, because you can't do this of your own natural self. Let's read that again. Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Who's doing the giving? Who's giving the understanding? Who's the author and the finisher of our faith? Are you hearing him? Are you really hearing him? Or are you like our forefathers? Hearing you hear, but you don't understand. You hear the words, but you're not really hearing the meaning and the understanding behind the word. Has it been given to you to hear Elohim? Let's continue. To he that has an ear, let him hear. Sounds simplistic. Everybody got ears. If we're not deaf, if we hear, we hear the words, but do we understand? Was it given to you to understand? Let's move on. Let us go to Matthew chapter 13. Go to Matthew chapter 15. Start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Then came Yeshua. Then came to Yeshua scribes, teachers, and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Whose tradition is this that they're about to talk about? Is it Elohim's? No. This is the tradition of the elders. This is what they think is good and right. Let's see where they went off track. For Elohim commanded, saying, now, verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandments of Elohim by your tradition? So the scribes and the Pharisees were saying, why are your disciples transgressing our tradition? And Messiah says, why do you also transgress the commandments of Elohim by your tradition? Can we hear what the Spirit is saying here? We can come up with some traditions, some doctrines, some understandings that transgress the commandments of the Most High, thinking we're doing a good. And because we are not really hearing the Most High and we're doing what's right in our own eye, in our own mind, we can establish some things that are contrary, that transgress the commandments of the Most High. This is what Messiah is saying to the elders and the Pharisees. Why do you transgress the commandments that override, that are higher than your tradition? Why do you transgress the commandments by your tradition? You trying to hold us to your standard, something you have made up. And what you have made up transgresses the commandments of the Most High Elohim. Let's continue in this conversation. For Elohim commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. What death is he talking about? Is this a spiritual death? No. If you had a son or a daughter that was unruly, if your daughter went around and she slept around before she was married, she's supposed to be stoned. If you had a son that was lazy and wouldn't get up off his behind and do what he's supposed to be doing, was getting drunk all the time and would have you supposed to take him to the elders, and he's supposed to be stoned. That's to die the death. Not a spiritual death. This was a literal, actual, no, they're supposed to die. He said, so you're supposed to be doing this and you're not doing it. How did they try to circumvent it? But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever you might be profited by me. It's a gift. Whatever I give to you, whatever I do for you as your son or your daughter, you ought to count yourself lucky. You ought to count yourself blessed if I do anything for you. So they have flipped this thing around, and Messiah is calling it to the, this is a tradition that they have started that transgressed the commandments of the Most High. Because when it says honor your father and your mother, that means that you were literally supposed to honor them, and when they get elderly and of age, you don't put them out on the street to always fend for themselves. They took care of you your whole life. And now when you were a baby, they took care of you. Now when they're elderly and they're becoming feeble and not able to do for themselves, you as their child are supposed to be there for your parents. What we have done in this country is, oh, we don't want to deal with the headache. We don't want that responsibility. Let me put you in an old folks home. I can't deal with you. You're setting your ways and you're keeping me from doing what I want to do. Transgressing the commandment of the Most High. We're doing it still today, is my point. We're not hearing Elohim. Have children and they want to go off and live their life. And when it comes time that their parents should be able to depend upon them, I ain't got time for you. No, mama, you stay over here. No, daddy, and among us, if we know our daddy, if he's in our lives, for a lot of us, we would have just been satisfied with that. But even when they are in our lives, we are being taught in this society to debase the man, to dishonor him. And so taking care of him in his old age, I don't know if that's even heard of amongst our people. Messiah says, if we don't do it, we are in transgression of the commandments of the Most High. But we didn't hear that. Even when we read the words of Messiah, we didn't hear that. Because when it came back to daily living, the real world, our daily life, we couldn't hear that. I moved out from my parents so I wouldn't have to be up under them. They try to run my life. You know, the parent has to also bring himself under subjection. But the truth of the matter is, we suffer as a people because we can't hear Elohim. Take care of the hoary head among you. Take care of your mother and your father. But you, by your tradition, you, by your understanding, anything you go by and do for your parents is a gift. They ought to be happy that I come by and take them grocery shopping. They ought to be happy that I give them a little money here and there, if we do. They ought to be happy that I come by and visit every now and again. Is that really honoring them? Now, if they are able to take care of themselves, they want to be in their own house, you know, that's a whole different story. But still, again, if they had understanding of the scripture, because they're only doing what they were taught, they did the same thing probably to their parents. I left, and when my parents got old, I wasn't financially able to help them. So they were left to fend for themselves. And then those who take on that role, there's a lot of time it ain't easy. Typically, it's one sibling in the family that gets, quote unquote, stuck with that responsibility. Everybody else is out living their lives. This one had a heart for their parents, their mother and their father, and they stayed around. And that burden is totally on them. And when it comes down to it, then when they pass and everybody else want to run in and try to snatch up whatever was left. But when it was time to, when it was time to take care of their parents, oh no, I got my family over here. And your brother or your sister who that burden took to that burden, we don't even want to honor them in that. Now, is these absolutes that I'm talking about? No, but we know that these things exist, and we're not hearing Elohim. Messiah says, you, by your tradition, you, by the standards that you came up on your own, transgress the commandments of Yah. I pray we can hear that because we're still doing this thing today. We just call it something different. Let's continue. Starting verse 4 again. I'm not going to expound. I've already expounded on it. But so we keep a consistent thought. For Elohim commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that is cursed, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever you mightest be profited by me. Whatever I might, you know, if I do something for you, it's a gift. No, let me put it a better way. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rock. It is your reasonable service. Another example. It is just your reasonable service, what you ought to be doing, unprofitable to me. I profit nothing by this. It's just what I'm supposed to do. So if I don't gain no glory from it, if I don't make no money from it, don't matter. If I don't get no recognition for it, don't matter. It's just what you're supposed to do, your reasonable service. I got to put this one in there. But by your tradition, and each person can come up with their own rationale as to why they don't do it. But the truth of the matter is, it don't matter why you don't do it. If you can hear Elohim and hear him through the scriptures, hear him through Messiah, he said, you ought to be taking care of them. You ought to be honoring them, and yours should be doing the same thing for you. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of Elohim of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh or near unto me with their mouth, and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Can we hear this? Can we understand? Do we hear Elohim? Are we following the traditions of men, or are we following the word of Yah? Have we developed attitude and perception concerning how we ought to treat the elderly, how we ought to treat our father and our mother? Or can we hear Elohim? You know, for a lot of us, this may or may not be able to be undone. Maybe our parents have already gone on to the grave, gone on to sleep, and we were in transgression and didn't even know it. But if your parents are alive right now, and you can hear the scripture say, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long in the land, on the earth. Or do some of us need to repent? And remember, it's just our reasonable service. These are the things that ail us, that make us sick as a people, because we're not hearing Elohim. We're not hearing the Most High. And we have developed our own tradition, our own way for dealing with this. Not doing what the Word has told us, giving of ourselves, being the servant. They mistreated me. They didn't take care of me. Yada, yada, yada. Yah is calling you to be bigger than that. See, your service can't be dictated by what they did. As a child of the Most High Elohim, are you able to hear Yah? Are you able to hear Elohim? Your service is predicated on your understanding and your ability. Your service is predicated upon your forgiving. They ain't never do nothing for me. Yah says, I have called you higher. I've called you above that. And even if it's to your hurt, let it be to your hurt rather than not provide the service. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to somebody out there. Yah is saying he's calling you higher. And your service to be higher because you are in transgression of his commandment. Let's move on. He that has an ear, let him hear. Let us go Actually, we're at 9:51. Let's do this. We'll pick this up on this evening. Hearing Elohim. Are we hearing Elohim or are we stuck in our own traditions? Are we in transgression of the commandments of Yah? Because we've been taught, or we have learned, or we have come to a conclusion of our own that we are going to be this way for this reason. And the decision that we've made, we have not heard Elohim. We are not hearing him. He says, because the decision you made, even though it seems honorable to you and the right thing to do to you, it transgresses the commandments. It breaks the commandments of the Most High. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, give it to us that we might hear your voice. that we would hear and understand, and that we would not just be worshipers of you with our lips, but our heart is far from you, and we are not hearing Elohim. For to hear and to understand is to obey and to do. Father, if we have set up any of our own tradition, any of our own understanding that transgress your commandments, Father, reveal them to us. Let us see them for what they are, that we might serve you more perfectly, that we might represent you more perfectly, that we might do what is commanded of us, and we might hear and obey. Father, and we'll be so thankful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise for bringing us out of transgression, for giving it to us to be able to hear and understand. Father, we know that you don't give it to everyone. Even when you walked the earth and you spoke to the masses, said that it wasn't given to everyone to understand. So, Father, give us understanding. Give us ears that we might hear and understand. And that in hearing and understanding that we will do, understanding that it's just our reasonable service. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. On this evening, we will pick this up and continue in this, hearing Elohim. Are we hearing and understanding? And if we are hearing and understanding, are we doing? Or are we worshiping with lips only? Because, see, worship is a duty. It is part of our walk. And that worship is not only to praise Elohim, but it's to do what Elohim says as part of your worship. It's not just to say hallelujah, glory to Yah, I thank you, Father, but it's to also do his will. That's part of your worship. So I pray that we come back this evening for the continuation of this. We have the new moon service coming up. And as I said, the first next major feast is Feast of Pentecost next month in May. And we want to start getting ourselves prepared for spiritually. It is Citizenship Day. That's the way I like to term Pentecost. Citizenship Day. And how many new citizens, how many potential citizens are you inviting into the kingdom? How many people are you looking for to help out, to come and get their salvation? I pray that Yah keeps you, that he encamps his angels around you, and that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. I love you. I really do. And Yah loves you more, and he really does. Shalom, family. Thank you.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.